Snowy Days by AU of Golden Fantasies and read by Coprime. Rating: General Audiences. Archive Warning: No archive warnings apply. Fandom: Daredevil TV. Relationships: Matt Murdock and Foggy Nelson, as well as Matt Murdock and Sister Maggie. Additional tags: Sensory Exploration, Fluff and Angst, Snow, and Point of View Matt Murdock. Summary: Matt hasn't always liked the snow. Matt was 14 years old and he hated snow. It made every sound dull and fuzzy, which meant that the world around him felt dull and fuzzy. Not only that, but the cold made scents harder to pick up, which was only making him feel even more disoriented than before. He should have been back to St. Agnes's by now. He had counted the blocks from school. He should be able to hear the younger kids playing inside. Why couldn't he hear them? Had he turned a wrong corner? Things weren't as jarringly loud as they usually were, and Matt couldn't believe that he missed the cacophony of sounds he was used to, that was annoying at best and literal torture at worst. He tried walking another block, but the sounds he expected to be there sounded wrong. He slumped down against a fence, sulking. People walked past him in the street, but nobody talked to him or stopped by him. They were probably staring, though. Not like he could make that out. Whatever, he didn't care. Let them look at the poor lost blind boy. They didn't know a damn thing about him, so why should he care about them? It was no use trying to find his way back to St. Agnes when he didn't know where he was. He tried listening for something familiar, but all the sounds sounded like gibberish today. It was jarringly similar to when his abilities first developed after the accident, and he wasn't used to making sense of the new sensory input yet. He hated that feeling. This had happened once or twice since Stick left. Days where everything around him felt like they should make sense, but for some reason didn't. Matt slammed his back against the fence and put his hands in the cold snow, trying to ground himself in touch when smell and sound didn't make sense. It hurt, but it was better than floating free. Stick would laugh at him if he knew that a little snow had defeated him. In Matt's defense, New York hadn't gotten this much snow in several years, and he had never had the opportunity to learn to navigate this much snow since the accident. He couldn't even properly hear the pavement. Everyone's footsteps sounded like they were further from him than they were, and he kept misjudging distances because of everything being muffled. He shifted his cane from hand to hand, bouncing the tip on the ground. He knew how long his cane was, but it didn't sound like it came from the same place he knew the tip must have been at. Stupid snow. "Matthew," someone said from far away. Matt ignored it. "Matthew!" It was Sister Maggie. Great. Now he would get a lecture for not getting back to St. Agnes in time for dinner. Matt ignored her. "There you are," she said, from the corner of the block. There was a hand on his shoulder. Matt immediately grabbed the assailant, twisting their wrists to make them let go before he leaped up and backwards, placing himself in an attack position ready to strike again. The assailant stood steady, and he couldn't get a proper read of them. He pointed his cane straight forward, intending to punch them in the solar plexus, but they stood closer than he expected, and the cane tapped their thigh as he raised it instead. Who was it? Where were they? How had he not noticed them before? He couldn't be sure about anything. He couldn't even trust what his own senses were telling him. A growl escaped his throat. "Put your cane down, Matthew." It was Sister Maggie's voice, calm and stern. Where her voice came from didn't match up with the body the cane touched, but he didn't hear anybody else there. "Sister Maggie? It's okay now." There was a fast heartbeat, He tilted his head. It didn't change. Where was it? Too fast. Scared. Young. There was another heartbeat close by. Steady, unwavering, familiar. The fast heartbeat was his own. He swallowed, took a deep breath. The mind controlled the body. He was in control. He recognized Sister Maggie. It had to be her. It wasn't just his mind playing him games. He lowered his cane to the ground, took a hesitant step forward until his cane met her foot. "That's it," she said reassuringly. Slowly, his mental picture of where Maggie stood became clearer and less contradictory. She sounded the same height as usual. Matt had grown past her last summer. "Why are you out here?" she asked. She sounded a bit disappointed, but at least she wasn't fazed or intimidated by his attempted attack. Matt liked that about her. She wasn't like Sister Lydia that whispered behind closed doors about how he only brought trouble and was hard to work with. Sister Maggie wasn't at all like that, even if he sometimes got a feeling like she purposefully distanced herself from him, like she didn't want to get attached to him. Which didn't hurt. It did. Because he was a warrior and didn't need attachments. But it wasn't fun. At least she wasn't unreasonable as the rest. Matt didn't answer her question. He didn't want to admit he got lost. "Let's go back to Agnes," she ordered. "It's almost dinner." Her voice still sounded muffled, but wasn't as jarring now that they stood close enough that he could make out her heat signature properly. Which also, stupid Snow, was a lot harder than normal when the heat from her body was shielded with layers and layers of clothing. Her face was a lot colder than it should have been. "You've been outside for long, sister?" "I've been looking for you." That didn't answer the question. "Let me see your hands." "Why?" Matt leaned his cane against his body and reached forward. "They look frozen. How long did you sit in that heap of snow?" Matt shrugged, clenching his jaw not to chatter his teeth. He couldn't feel his toes anymore, which was incredibly annoying. He wouldn't even be able to flip over a fence like this. "Here, put these on," she said, the heat of her hands taking his and giving him a pair of knitted wool gloves. "Thanks," Matt said. "Wait," he said as he realized something. Sister Maggie kept her hands where they were. Matt took the gloves in one hand, and with the other he trailed a light touch towards her left wrist. He could feel the swelling. "I sprained your wrist," he said, and guilt washed over him. "I'm so sorry, sister." How could he have been so sloppy that he couldn't distinguish an ally from a foe? Stupid Snow. "It's nothing," she said, and clasped his hand with both of hers. Her hands were much warmer than his. "I surprised you. You were scared. It happens." "Wasn't scared," he pouted. "Warriors weren't scared." "Put on the gloves," she said patiently, and let go of his hand. Matt did as she said. He brought his gloved hand up to his face, pretending to rub his nose to be able to sniff it. It smelled like Sister Maggie. "Let's go back." "Yes, sister." He fell into pace at her side, walking. The lecture he had expected from her was yet to come. But nothing in her breathing suggested that Sister Maggie intended to say anything more. "How far away are we?" Matt couldn't help himself but ask. 3 blocks. Oh. He had been only 3 blocks away, and he had been helplessly lost. Pathetic. "I don't like snow," Matt said. "Is that so?" "Things sound different. And all the curbs are buried under the snow." "It hasn't been this much snow in several years," Sister Maggie commented. "I'm very aware of that," Matt grumbled, slamming the tip of his cane harder into the ground than it was necessary. You'll get used to it with time. The next time we have a winter like this, you will be prepared for what it means for you. There's nothing wrong with going down at first because you can always get back up. Huh. That almost sounded like something Dad would have said. Because of that, Matt couldn't get himself to protest. Instead, he started to wonder if Sister Maggie had ever met his dad. It was a peculiar thought. They were part of entirely different parts of his life. But she was right. He shouldn't let himself get defeated so easily. This was just another challenge. After dinner, he could go out again and start mapping this new and changed world. When they came inside, Matt was bombarded with the intense and sharp sounds and smells that made the world feel solidly crisp around him. No more fuzzy edges. It made him feel relieved. This was what it was supposed to be like, where he always could sense exactly where everything was and what everybody was doing, where he was in control. He took a deep breath just to appreciate it, but let out an involuntary groan when he became aware of the stale and moldy smell of the basement that he always tried to ignore. "What's the matter?" Sister Maggie asked. "Nothing," he mumbled, and handed her gloves back before he went to his room to put away his backpack before dinner, which Sister Lauren had cooked by the smell of it. Ugh. Sister Lauren always put in too much pepper. Matt was 22 years old, and it could have been worse. It had snowed the whole day, and the world around him felt distorted. He still wasn't a fan of snow, even if he was used to how the world changed around him because of it. Matt sighed as he left the dorm building. He did not agree with all the happy voices he heard around him, saying how wonderful the snow was. "Hey, want an arm?" Foggy asked him, and stopped beside him. "An arm?" Matt asked. Foggy had stopped offering to guide him 2 months ago because Matt always declined. "Yeah, they haven't cleared the pavement yet." Matt shrugged, conveying he would have been fine, but extended his hand towards Foggy in an accepting gesture. Was he selfish for wanting a break from trying to focus on everything around them? Mapping everything out and making sense of the stimuli? Normally, it happened without him thinking about it, but now he had to focus to interpret and make sense of it all. When all his focus didn't go to navigation, thanks to Foggy's guiding, it was actually rather nice to be outside today. It was nice to get a break from all the sharp echoes of the concrete and steel in the buildings. Foggy chattered beside him as usual. The snow made everything sound softer. When he was younger, his brain had interpreted the slightly duller sounds as being further away from him, throwing him off balance. But he had discovered that the dullness that came with the sounds from far away and the softness of the snow had different characteristics to them, making him able to differentiate the two. It always took a while for him to get used to it again, when he hadn't had to deal with any snow since last winter. And this time, it was one of the rare heavy ones with a lot of snow again. He didn't look forward to the coming month. According to the weather reports, there was still more snow to come. Dealing with this always made him feel exhausted. He could already anticipate how hard it would be to focus on the lectures when he had to use up his mental energy on something as simple as navigation. "Hello, buddy, are you with me?" Foggy's voice broke through his thoughts. "Yeah, of course." "Did you hear any of what I just said?" Matt couldn't for his life remember what Foggy had said. "Sorry, I spaced out." "I noticed." Foggy's voice was smooth against the creaks the snow made under their every step. "So I know you declined my offer to come over for Christmas. But I talked to Mom yesterday, and I have new and delicious arguments, so hear me out." The snow made his surroundings so much calmer, and, hanging onto Foggy's arm, he could let himself filter it all away, render it as insignificant, which was much easier to do without things sounding sharply and piercing through. For a little moment, only the conversation with Foggy had to matter to him. He still disliked the snow, but it wasn't all bad. "Matt, it started to snow," Foggy said with delight from his office. "I noticed," Matt called back. Matt was 29 years old and could genuinely share Foggy's delight over the weather. When they went to the courthouse an hour later, Matt listened to all the special sounds that only occurred when the snow came down. It made the softest and lightest sound, like a whisper, when the snow fell to the ground. People's steps sang in a new melody when they walked over the snowy streets. Foggy's steady guiding made sure he could rest his mind. Focus on what he thought was important, like what Foggy was saying, instead of getting overwhelmed with trying to navigate. On their way back from the courthouse, Foggy suggested they would make a detour to a park. "Sure, why not?" Matt agreed. They were not the only ones taking hold of the opportunity to enjoy the weather. The air was crisp and fresh. With the cold temperature, even Matt didn't have to smell the ever-present pollution. But it wasn't just that. He had discovered that he didn't detect as many pollutants in the air when it snowed as when it didn't, but was still the same temperature. It wasn't just that it was cold enough so that the air particles were moving around less, making it harder to detect by smell. The snow itself actually cleared the air of some of the pollutants. He was grateful for that, because it meant he could focus his sense of smell on more pleasant scents and appreciate them more. They became clear to him in the snow-crisp air, like someone had removed the distractions, as well as taking away some of the intensity. "Seems like the kids like the weather," Matt noted, when he heard three kids shriek and laugh in delight. "Yeah, they're trying to build a snowman together," Foggy said. "Its head just fell off." Foggy stopped in the path. Matt tilted his head, trying to figure out what Foggy had seen. He pinched his eyebrows questioningly to Foggy. "Do you sometimes wish you could be a kid again?" Foggy asked. "No, why?" "So I could do this," Foggy said, walking away from Matt, into the snow beside the cleared path. It creaked softly under him, before Foggy laid down in the snow with a thump and started moving his legs and arms around. "What are you making a snow angel?" Matt asked with an amused smile. "Yep." "Evidently, you don't need to be a kid to do that," Matt noted. "You only live once," or whatever the kids say nowadays. The snow looked so soft and undisturbed, I had to leave my imprint on the ground. "You're such a dork," Matt said fondly. "You're one, too." There was a smile in his voice. "You don't see me doing snow angels." "No, but I think you should." Should he? Matt hadn't made a snow angel since he was a kid, since before the accident. Afterwards, he was too angry at and overwhelmed by the snow to enjoy it. He wondered what it felt like to let the snow embrace him like that. The curiosity got the better of him. Matt folded up his cane and laid down in the snow beside Foggy. Surrounding himself by the cold made him alert, while the softness of the snow laid like a blanket on everything around them. Moving to make the snow angel wasn't giving him any revelations. He was moving around in snow. That was it. Neither fuzzy distortions nor sensory joy. It was just snow. And wasn't that weirdly comforting? "I say that we crash in your apartment after this, when we are wet and cold and need to snuggle up," Foggy suggested. "Okay. I take first dibs on your incredibly soft throw blanket." Matt chuckled. Everything was as usual in all the odd ways of his life. After Foggy had gone home to his place for the night, Matt made himself ready for another night out as Daredevil. Foggy had wanted him to stay in, as usual. "I can't do that," Matt had told him. "As usual." "I know," Foggy had said with a disappointed sigh. "As usual. Please be safe." After that, Foggy had left and Matt had gone out. It had stopped snowing now, but the world was still covered. Matt suddenly got hit by a memory from his childhood. a heavy blanket that he had hid under while playing hide-and-seek with Dad. The comfort of it, the calm. That was how Hell's Kitchen and snow felt like. It didn't stop the crime, though. He could still hear the screams and the sirens and the fights as clear as ever. It was merely snowy as well. It made the city sing to him in a key he only had the fortune to hear a few times a year. It was the same city, but there was still something new, which made going out right now seem new and exciting. Fighting and running across rooftops in the snow gave him a challenge that he liked. Maybe he enjoyed the rush of adrenaline from making a landing after he flipped over from one rooftop to the next a little too much. Maybe he smiled a little too broad when he proved to himself that even if things were different with the snow, it didn't impede him. He had conquered this challenge as well. After a few hours of fighting, the city quieted down. An impulse made him parkour over to the water tower, where his radar picked up a smooth layer of undisturbed snow. He laid down there to make another snow angel and let himself enjoy the moment. The devil leaving behind the impression of an angel. Matt chuckled to himself. Wasn't that a nice imagery? The end. Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this work, please consider leaving a comment on the original work or the author.